Again, I would just greet you in the precious name of Jesus. I'm always blessed with how God will orchestrate our services and bring things together to encourage our hearts. And I can tell you that already here this evening, singing those songs, my heart has been stirred and been encouraged, and I'm grateful to His faithfulness to us. I'm thinking of the fact that we're getting to the end of these meetings, and I would like to just express my deepest appreciation for your friendship, for the meals, the times we've been able to spend together, fellowship around the Word, and just encouragement. Also want to just thank you for the offering last evening. May the Lord bless you as you continue to be faithful to Him. I'm also quite excited to see my wife sitting here. I came into the service and I was like, asked Maynard, I said, did she show up yet? He said, no. And so I wasn't sure if she would be here for this service or not. I know she's had a long journey today, but I did want to say just a word about her, and that is that she has been a tremendous encouragement and inspiration to me in my ministry. I'll tell you this much. I'm the one that's kind of like this, and she is very, very steady, consistent. She told me one time, she said, Dave, your landscape must be something else or beautiful. She said, one day you're up on the mountain, and the next day you're down in the valley. She said, I'm just kind of on an endless plateau or an endless prairie. Maybe that describes our personalities just a bit, but I can honestly say to you that she has been a tremendous inspiration and encouragement to me in times of discouragement. I had a few sisters come to me yesterday, and wondered, how do we encourage our husbands? How do we stand behind them? I've been kind of thinking of that question quite a bit, and I had made the comment that it's not an easy thing to be a dad. It's not an easy thing to be a leader, and I just believe that in a short answer to that, words of affirmation, words of encouragement, words of support mean so much in helping a father, helping a husband take his responsibility and fulfill the task that God has called him to. And I would just say this to all of us. None of us do it perfectly. Wow, how we need God in the events and journeys of life. And we really do need to stand beside each other and to lift each other up and encourage each other in our commitment, in our walk with Him. Thank you. I'd like you to take your Bibles and again go to Hebrews chapter 12. We've kind of had this few verses here as kind of a theme, and I wasn't sure if I would or when I would preach the message, lifting up the hands which hang down. But I have felt the Lord leading me to share this message tonight, taken from the passage of Scripture that we've been quoting. And I'd like you to stand again, and let's say this together. Maybe you've memorized it through the week, but let's quote verses 12 through 15, and let's say that together. Are you ready? Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Let's sing that song, one verse, I'm pressing on the upward way. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day.
still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up
and let me stand
by faith on heaven's table land, higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
You may be seated. You know, it's one thing to sing that song and to have that desire in your heart to move to higher ground. But I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, it's another thing to actually experience it in your heart and life. I've said to you, my title of the message is Lift Up the Hands Which Hang Down. And the text is found in verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. When I read that right there, it just troubles me that too often the lame gets turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. A question for you to ponder tonight, for us to think about tonight, would be simply this question. What would cause hands to hang down? What would cause hands to hang down? Why would knees become feeble? And why would people turn out of the way? I just want you to think about that. Some time ago, I pulled a book out of my library, and the introduction was entitled, The False Hope of Modern Christianity. Here's what it said. Modern Christianity promises to relieve the pain of living in a fallen world. Complete satisfaction can be yours on this side of heaven. He goes on to say this, the effect of such teaching is to blunt the painful reality of what it's like to live as part of an imperfect community. Sometimes evil community. Beneath the surface of everyone's life, especially the more mature, there is an ache which will not go away. It can be ignored. It can be disguised. It can be mislabeled. Or it can be submerged in a torrent of activity. But it will not disappear. And for good reason. We were designed to enjoy a better world than this. And until that better world comes along, we will groan for what we do not have. An aching soul is not evidence of neurosis or spiritual immaturity, but of realism. You know, it reminds me of the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:2, where he says this, For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. The author goes on to say this, when we reflect deeply on how life really is, and by the way, I just want to say something here. Did you know that most of us are scared of each other? Do you know that most of us are not really willing to open our hearts and our lives to each other? I was at a church one evening and sharing on brotherhood, and a brother came up to me after the service. He said, Dave, Yes, I'm a part of this brotherhood, but I'm a lonely person. We don't really want people to know who we really are and the struggles that we really face in life. He goes on to say, in those moments when we reflect deeply on how life really is, both inside our soul and outside in our world, a quiet terror threatens to overwhelm us. In those moments, retreat into denial does not seem cowardly. It seems necessary and smart. We say to each other, just keep going. Get your act together. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Renew your commitment to God. Get more serious about obedience, about your personal devotions. And all of those are efforts to rise above the ache that is in our hearts. And I would say to us tonight, the truth is, every one of us sitting here, we don't like to hurt. I don't like to hurt. We want relief now. We were created to enjoy a garden without weeds, relationships without friction, fellowship without distance. But the reality is that oftentimes life just does not meet our expectations. Nothing is more humbling than a recognition of a deep thirst that makes us entirely dependent on someone else for satisfaction, and a depth of corruption that stains everything we do, or nearly everything we do, with selfishness. And with this dichotomy, the Christian finds himself asking some hard questions. Maybe you've asked this. I have. I'll just say this. I looked in the Yoder book to try to find out what was wrong with me. I wish I could blame my grandfather. Or maybe my dad. God, why did you make me this way? Why do I struggle with these things? What secret am I missing? Why are things seldom the way I want them to be, or the way I think they should be? You know what? Sometimes I think that we as Christians completely miss, are you listening to me? Or bypass the message of a cross. The message of suffering. The message of pain. The message of surrendered wills. Recently, as part of our anniversary, Ellie and I observed a parade as it moved down a street toward the river. Now, parades are characterized by formations, by marching, by music, by precise timing, by people at their best. But let me ask you a question. What happens when the distance is great? What happens when the parade needs to stop to clean up the street for a mess? What happens when the horse refuses to cooperate? What happens when the hand raising the flag gets tired? What happens when the hand twirling the baton gets weary? What happens when the feet marching in rhythm get heavy? What happens when the invitations to join the parade are spurned? What happens when it rains on your parade? I saw an older person in this parade that just couldn't do it anymore. The feet no longer could march in time. Brothers and sisters, the heavenly parade of Hebrews 12 is lined with a cloud of well-wishers. The participants are you and I, and the obstacles are not simply figments of one imagination. They are real. There are things like weights. There are things like besetting sins. There are things like the contradiction of sinners against you. There are things like the chastening of the Lord. There are things like feelings of fainting. There are things like rebuke. There are things like being scourged. And in those moments, the parade is no longer fun. The glory is overshadowed by the struggle to keep going, and the prize can seem unattainable. And you know what happens? The hands begin to hang down despite one's best efforts. The feet refuse to march any longer, and failure is close at hand. What do you do when you can't change people? What do you do when you can't change circumstances? What do you do when you can't fix things? I would say in those moments, the words from Jeremiah 12:6 take on some real significance. It says, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trusted they wearied thee, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? In the moments of weariness and despair, there are some temptations which must be resisted, must be rejected, must be refused if you are going to receive the prize. If you are going to finish the race, if you are going to reach the heavenly city, there are three things that I would share with you tonight to encourage your hearts from this passage. The first is this. If you're going to finish the race, if you're going to be successful in your journey of life, you're going to have to find a way to refuse the well-worn path. I can tell you right now that most people are not going to take the path of suffering. The admonition here is this, and I talked about this early in the week. It has blessed me so much. The admonition is to make straight paths for your feet. When I think about that, I think of this. When others are making compromises, when others are slipping out of the race, when others are entering crooked paths, when others are turning away, what should you do? What should I do? Our test suggests, and yes, it instructs and implores us to make straight paths for your feet. You may not be able to control others. You may not be able to control the circumstances of your life. You may not be able to change your situation. But one thing you can do with the grace of God, and that is to choose what your response will be. You can determine what is right and then do it. You can determine to walk a life of integrity and faithfulness regardless of what other people do. You can determine to march and to walk and to run circumspectly despite what everyone else may do. And I like this one the best. Yes, you can determine to have a right attitude and a right spirit, right words, and right actions. You know what? The race will not be finished if I succumb to discouragement, if I succumb to disappointment, if I succumb to depression. I think of being at a church locally one time with our youth course. The evangelist there talked about this brother that they described as being balls of fire. He would come to church all excited and all enthused about the work of the Lord, and everybody knew he was there. And then for several weeks, he wouldn't show up. And they'd say, "Where's brother so-and-so? Oh, he's not feeling well lately. He's not doing too good." Let me say to us tonight, the gates of hell are no match for the Christian who determines in his heart that he will do what's right regardless of the path that others take. The well-worn path looks inviting, but can become deadly to the one who truly wants to finish the race. I just want to encourage us tonight. Do we know, and I'm sure you do, do you know that Satan's goal is to get you to, in one way or another, throw in the towel? You may not do it. You may not do it in a visible way. Yeah, you may still continue to go to church. You may go through the motions of Christianity, but something has died within your heart. And Satan's design and purpose is to get us to finally turn away from the God who truly loves us. Many times because of circumstances or situations over which we have no control or no ability to change. I'm saying to us tonight, if you want to finish the race, you need to refuse the well-worn path of compromise, of just simply throwing in the towel. Secondly, this one here is probably the most important one of this evening. You must refuse the root of bitterness. We need to be aware this evening that there are some stubborn roots that have a way of springing up and catching your feet, particularly when you are tired, when you're disappointed or discouraged. Here it is called the root of bitterness, means to press down. You know, there are a few things that will destroy a person so completely and render them so ineffective in kingdom living than the root of bitterness. How does it do it? I'll tell you how. It does it by troubling us. Simply means it presses in and it mobs us and it crowds us. Not only must a person pay attention and guard his path or his walk, but he must find a way to constructively keep his attitude in the right place. Can I suggest tonight that your attitude has a way of determining your direction in life? It'll either take you up or down, forward or backwards. And your attitude will leave others better or worse because it refuses to stay hidden very long. And so how do I deal with the things that others say about me? How do I deal with what was done by others? How do I deal with the circumstances of life which I'm not able to control? One thing's sure, I need to refuse to go down the path of frustration, resentment, anger, and bitterness. You may say tonight, well, Dave, how do you do that? All of us have feelings. All of us struggle with things that happen in life. How does a person face those things and maintain a steady course? How do you keep a good attitude when nobody's treating you right? Is it possible? You think it's possible to have a right response in the midst of conflict? Let me just say that I believe the only answer or solution that I know is the willingness to forgive, the willingness to surrender, the willingness to love. Lay it down. Let it go. Someone says, well, what if I don't love them? I would say to you, what would you do if you did love them? Huh? Go do it. You know, our lives and our responses, thank God, do not need to be determined by our feelings, but by choices that we make. Recently, in a moment of frustration, I think I'll share this, I left ministers' meeting with this comment. I said, I know what I'm going to do. And I'll tell you, my attitude and spirit came through. By the end of the day, the Lord had convicted me, and I made a choice that I would refuse to let bitterness, resentment, ill will enter into my relationship. You know, it was an amazing thing. When I made that commitment, all of a sudden, the pressure was just released. I'm telling us tonight, people, listen to me well. Sometimes we think we can't help ourselves, or we think there's no way to ever have a good relationship with that person. And I would like to suggest tonight that when you take the step of doing, like we said in the first place, taking the right path, when you decide to do the right thing regardless of what other people may do, God will fill your heart with the grace to be able to carry that out. And He'll free you from bitterness. This does not imply a lack of confrontation to keep peace, but it does mean this. It means a refusal to harbor ill will, critical attitudes, negative responses to the people and the events in our life. Because if you do that, it's very clear in this passage, the fallout of allowing the root of bitterness is that many will be defiled. Let me tell you something. You can't hide. You can't hide your spirit. You can try. You can say all the right words, but those watching and knowing you, especially your family, they know. They know whether you're upset, frustrated. I've already had to apologize, not for what I did, but for the spirit in which I've done it. Do we realize tonight, brothers and sisters? I sometimes think we don't realize how devastating resentment and ill will is in our relationships. And I'm here to suggest to you that we do not have to go down that road. The Bible says, do not let the root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. There are people today who are not in the church because of bitterness. They've gotten sour on Christianity. They've gotten sour on life because of allowing resentment and ill will and feelings to come to the surface in their life. The third and last temptation to resist is this: refuse to sell your birthright. Watch out for the tempting morsels of meat along the way. At this same event that Ellie and I were at, we were looking through the different food vendors, and we came to this place where they were selling spare ribs. And I'll tell you, it was just the smell, the flavor was just tantalizing. And we stopped there, and I told him, I said, we'll probably be back here. So after we had wandered around a while, we came back, and I was just your mouth watering, wanting to get these ribs. And here for a half rack or whatever was like $30. And for a sandwich, a spare rib sandwich, it was $12.95. And my dear wife, she was like, Dave, that's way too much money. But I was hungry. I'm sure you've never had a tiff with your wife, but I told her, I said, well, we spend more than that, you know, when we go away for a weekend or whatever. But she wasn't impressed, and finally I just left the spare ribs. Now, part of the problem was I had about $15 in my pocket, and I didn't want to spend all that, so I was wondering if they put the spare ribs on credit card. But I never inquired, because with our little conversation, we finally walked away. Esau, in a moment of weakness, sold his birthright. Watch out for the tempting morsels of meat along the way. So, if you think about that, there is a need to draw some lines in the sand, to set boundaries in the heart. There's a need to determine where you will not go and what you will not do, what you will refuse to bow down to, and what you will refuse to give in to. The question is this: would you like to inherit the blessing? Would you like to finish the race? Would you like to receive the prize? The blessing is not given to those who touch the mountain. If we were to read this passage, you would see that. The blessing is not given to those who succumb to bitterness. The blessing is not given to those who sell their birthright. The prize is not given to those who ignore the voice from heaven. Are your hands hanging down this evening? Are your feet traveling down straight paths? Is your attitude bitter, resentful tonight? Are you going after spare ribs for satisfaction? Then I would suggest that Jesus is calling you this evening to a commitment of faithfulness. You know, when things are going well, everybody jumps on the bandwagon. But you let things start to go the wrong direction, and when things start to unravel, it's hard to find faithfulness. It's hard to find people who are committed for the long haul. But I'll tell you, the scriptures tell us this: he that endures to the end shall be saved. Now, I would like to suggest, with what I read in the beginning, no, we're not in a perfect world. We do face suffering and trials, and we face struggles in relationships, but that is no reason to give up or to throw in the towel. It's only a call for us to be more committed and more faithful. I just love those people that despite the circumstances of life, they put their shoulder to the wheel and they do what they can to make a difference for eternity. Will you be one of those persons? Let's pray. Father, we are challenged by your word tonight. We are challenged by the message of the cross. We see Jesus as our example, not shrinking from the call that you placed on his life. Lord, that call involved suffering. It involved pain. It involved the kind of circumstances that humanly one would shrink from. We also face those kinds of situations in our life. Sometimes we're tempted to throw in the towel. Sometimes we're just tempted to kind of sit on the sidelines. Sometimes we are tempted to pout. Lord, I pray that you would make us realize tonight that there is a path that will enable you to continue to effectively use us in the work of your kingdom. I pray for straight paths. I pray, Father, for good attitudes. I pray for a commitment to not sell our birthright. And I pray, Father, that you would enable us by the power of your Spirit to be able to cast our cares and the things we cannot change on you, but to faithfully pursue what you have called us to do. Lord, we know that as we do that, your strength will be ours. Your grace will be our portion. And we'll be able to walk joyfully and humbly before you, being effective in the work of your kingdom and in the body of Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to give an invitation this evening. And here is simply the invitation. If you find yourself tonight with hands hanging down and maybe attitudes of resentment and bitterness, or struggling with the strength to keep going, and you want by God's grace to commit yourself to faithfulness in spite of the circumstances, I just want to encourage you to respond to the invitation this evening. Now, again, I would just like to invite, if God is speaking to your heart, just to have you come forward in recognition of his call on your life. Maybe there's someone here that has never committed their life to Christ, and God is speaking to your heart tonight. The invitation would be open. Whatever the Lord is saying and speaking to you, just mind the Spirit of God. What shall we sing?
With many a calm breath.
is speaking to hearts tonight. Is there anyone else that wants to respond to the invitation to not allow the circumstances of life to destroy your faith or to get you to throw in the towel? I often tell young people, I say, never, never quit. You may come and pray over and over again, and it feels like a brick wall, but you need to keep seeking the heart of God, because God is faithful, and He will respond to the cry of your heart. Circumstances are not easy. Situations test our faith. But God has promised to be with us to the end. As we tarry, is there anyone else that would like to respond to the invitation tonight? I would just say one more thing. We expect attacks to come to us in the world. But when it happens within the brotherhood, it's pretty tough. Many of us are not as strong as we try to make people think. It's very easy to allow hurts to take us down a road of distance and isolation from the people who really love us. I would just challenge us, let's not let that happen in our walk together. We need to know how to forgive. We need to know how to lay down the hurts and the resentments. We need to know how to offer the grace of forgiveness. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Anyone else while we just tarry a moment? God bless you. Thanks for continuing to pray, seek the Lord. Just want to encourage you. Stand together. Stand beside each other. It's so easy to tear each other down. Let's lift each other up, and let's make sure we lift up the hands which hang down. I'd like to have a prayer of dedication for those who have responded. Let's everyone stand together and then we'll dismiss. Father, we confess again tonight just our need of you. We thank you that Jesus has walked the way before us. We know that He knows what it's like to suffer. And Lord, I pray that you would give us courage as we suffer. Father, we hurt for people. We hurt for the decisions they make. We hurt for the circumstances which we're not able to change. And sometimes, if we're honest, we feel like walking away or throwing in the towel. Sometimes we allow resentment and bitterness to cloud our thinking and to destroy our relationships. We ask your forgiveness tonight. We plead the blood of Jesus on our hearts and on our lives. Give us courage. Give us the strength to do what's right, regardless of what our feelings may be telling us. Help us to love each other with a pure heart, fervently. Lord, I pray for this congregation that you would bind them together with the power of your Spirit, that discouragement would not be able to take them down a road that would be destructive. Lord, help us to know how to support and encourage each other. Bless these that have responded tonight with just a full measure of your grace and peace. Give them a lot of wisdom, Father, to know what steps they need to take in their lives to implement what they have decided tonight. Lord, I pray that you would take away any sin, any ill will, any resentment, and replace it with the power of your love. Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory. Now dismiss us with your blessing. May grace, mercy, and peace go with each one. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.